Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. It is a glowing, beautiful day here in my neck of the woods. We are meeting together. Today is February the 5th of 2015, and I am coming to you live from my studio in Los Alamos, New Mexico. If this is your first time joining me on Walk Your Talk with Leanne, I just warmly want to welcome you to our programming today. And for all of my very faithful listeners, I'm so incredibly blessed that you have chosen once again to spend some time in your busy lives and in your afternoon with me here live on the radio. I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach with Legacy Now Live. I'm a certified professional coach. I work within what I like to call the tapestry of adoption in life, leadership, and relationship restoration. We work a lot with adoption wellness, with stepping forward. I don't only coach those within the tapestry of adoption. I also coach business owners and leaders, and I'm super excited to dedicate this program today on February the 5th to adoption. You know, for those of you who know me well, you know I love to pay attention to my surrounding areas out on the web and who I see out there walking their talk and really living their legacy and trying to make a difference in this world and make sense of their stories. And I found one such woman in my guest today, and I'm super excited to introduce my listeners to my new friend Jan. And before I bring Jan on live, I want to offer up a phone number that you as a guest can call into our studio if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments for Jan or for myself, Leanne Parsons. And that number is 646-716-9397. You'll be prompted to, I believe, push a number one, and you can be brought into the queue to ask your question or comment. And we certainly do welcome that call from you. So as a certified professional coach, I'm also a reunited adoptee. I'm a mom, a grandma. I like to call myself a warrior wife. I've been married almost 30 years, for those who are new to the show. And it hasn't been without its bumps and wiggles, the momhood, the wifehood, and all of that beauty. But I am committed to living a life of freedom and impact and to connecting those within the tapestry of adoption so together we can join our voices and we can change the way we do and view adoption so we can bring truth and dignity and conscious choice into the tapestry. And I believe that my lovely guest has a very similar vision. Listeners, I'd like to introduce you to my friend Jan. Jan Collins is a birth mother. She's a grief educator and a consultant for mental health professionals. She works within the faith communities and is a beautiful voice for birth mothers across the country. Jan earned her master's degree in social work from Baylor University and has completed her research and analysis on the long-term effects of relinquishment on birth moms. She's also the birth mother of her 23-year-old son that she placed for adoption at birth, and she understands the profound grief, confusion, and conflicting emotions that can occur from placing a child for adoption. And so, ladies and gentlemen, grab yourselves a cup of coffee or your special beverage here this afternoon. I want to invite you into a really intimate conversation with Jan and I as we discuss this really important topic of the adoption factor and walking into that boldly. And so welcome, Jan, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, Jan, it is such a privilege to be joined by you here today. And, you know, you and I met through a mutual friend of ours. I just want to give our listeners a little peek into how we connected. We have a mutual friend in Rebecca Valle with Family to Family Support Network. And she connected us. and knew that we both had similar visions for adoption wellness and really stepping out and making a difference for those within the tapestry. And I'm so grateful to Rebecca for introducing you and I together.
Absolutely. She's such a wonderful woman and doing so much good in this field of adoption advocacy and education. So I'm grateful that she connected us, and I'm grateful for her.
Absolutely. Me too. You know, I had the pleasure of going live with Rebecca into her training, and I was able to take the adoption-sensitive training that she offers for healthcare professionals, and I was so moved and inspired by her training and her heart and mission for this community that I've committed to bring her here to New Mexico to do her training as well as part of my mission and focus here in 2015. It's so incredibly valuable and much needed. And for more information on that, you can reach out to Rebecca at Family to Family Support Network, or you can contact me at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com for more information about her program. And so, Jan, here we are. We are live on the radio today. We're in two different parts of the country. You are a fellow, you're a fellow Midwesterner like
me. That's right.
I love her. So, you know, we're going to talk today a lot about why it is important to understand the adoption factor and why it is important for adoption wellness programs to be popping up all over this world. So, Jan, give us a little bit of a background on why this topic is so incredibly important to you.
Well, it's incredible as well as incredibly important to me. Thank you so much, Leanne. I entered the world of adoption a little over 23 years ago, actually. I was a sophomore in college, and like many young women, was enamored with an athlete and started dating this young man. And as a result of our dating, I ended up pregnant and left school. I was in a Christian school, actually, and wasn't able to stay there. And so I left the school and went all the way across the country to California to stay with some friends of mine during my pregnancy. And, you know, I did the pregnancy by myself, and you know, that's a whole other radio show, finding support system. But about a week after I gave birth, I went from California giving birth all the way back to the other side of the country to start my third year of college. So in 1 week's time, I had a baby and started school again. So not only did I not have time to grieve my loss, I was also really confused about what I was supposed to be grieving. I had chosen an open adoption, which is, I have a love-hate relationship actually with open adoption. It's it kept me alive. It's something that allows a birth mother or a birth parent to remain in contact with the adoptive family and her biological child. But there's a lot of confusion, a lot of ambiguity in that type of adoption, because it's very uncertain, unanswered questions. Where, as a birth mother, do I fit? How much contact should I have? Do I wait? It's a real, real ambiguous type of relationship. And so I had difficulty trying to figure out how to grieve. Just wasn't even sure how to do that. So over the years, I just kind of kept really busy, and did as much as I could to keep happy, and got involved in some unhealthy relationships, and just was involved in a lot of self-destructive behaviors in order to kind of push through that grief that was too painful for me to deal with. And like I said, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be grieving, but I was sad. I had this really deep sadness over the years, but never correlated my sadness and my self-destructive behavior with the placement of my son, you know, many years prior. So actually, you know, it was a few years ago that I was hit straight on with just some debilitating grief. I couldn't run any longer. I couldn't numb any longer. And, you know, it occurred to me that really nobody had prepared me for everything that I had just gone through. And there was no counselor that that really seemed to understand the grief issues that are specific to birth moms. And there was nobody who really understood well enough in my circle to journey with me on that grief journey. So that's kind of what got me to the place where I knew I had to figure out, some answers. So that's kind of my story. And I have an open relationship, an open adoption relationship, I have a wonderful relationship with my son's, adoptive mother. And, he's 23, so any type of relationship with grown-ups isn't his forte, but, we're Facebook friends and, we continue to stay in contact with each other as well, but the grief doesn't go away. And, it's an ongoing lifetime experience, I have discovered.
You know, it sure is, Jan, and thank you for giving us a peek into your story and into your grief. You know, this is an incredibly important topic, right? When we think of the grief and loss issue for natural mothers. You know, there's many people out there that don't like the word birth mom or first mom, or, you know, we never know quite what to say, but in honor of that, even the language, right, of birth mom has absolutely penetrated the culture, and it has a negative connotation to it in a lot of ways for people, right? And so it labels. And part of that labeling back, you know, way back when the word birth mom came, I think it was instituted from adoption agencies to help keep it separate and to help, I think they were hoping, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're hoping by using the term birth mom that it gave you a place to rest it and then leave it behind. And oftentimes, many natural moms were told, hey, you know what, go on with your life. We've got this taken care of. It'll be super easy for you to forget all about this and just go on and live your life.
Yeah, you know, the whole term birth mother, first mother, natural mother, I can speak from personal perspective and, from perspective of dozens and dozens of friends that I have who are birth mothers. Everyone, whether they're a birth mother or somebody else, has a perspective on what they want to be called. You can be called an aunt or you can be called an auntie. You can be called pops or you can be called grandpa. So, you know, everybody has a different preference. I was at a conference a few months ago with Dr. Amanda Baden, who's an adoption specialist, and she was so sensitive in trying to use the proper terminology, and she had a panel of birth mothers and birth fathers, and when she started talking about natural mothers and natural fathers, they had never heard that before. They identified as birth parents. So I really think, you know, we can be so concerned about, I believe terminology is important, but we can be over concerned about that and not deal with the real issues that are behind whoever this woman is, which are the grief issues, you know? And so I absolutely hear you. And I know that there are so many people that have different perspectives on that. I, for one, 23 years into my placement, I don't have a problem with birth mother. I'm proud to wear that title. Proud. Hold my head up high with that title.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you for providing incredible understanding for all of us here on that important topic, because I just kind of wanted to clear that energy away right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to honor the listeners.
Absolutely.
For providing understanding and where you're coming from. And so we're just going to keep on with that term. And as we step forward into our conversation today. And so, you know, you had mentioned a couple of things that I thought were extremely important when you were sharing your story, Jan, that I don't want to gloss over. I kind of want to dive in a little bit deep with you on these topics. And you said you kind of threw yourself into being busy after placement, and you threw yourself into unhealthy relationships.
Yes.
And the other thing that bubbled up for me that you shared is that you totally walked through the pregnancy all by yourself.
Correct.
So tell me what, let's start with that piece and the grief and loss that is surrounded with walking through a pregnancy alone. Help me to understand what that's like, because as an adoptee, I don't know what that's like. So please please help us to understand more about what that's like, Jan.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And to be honest with you, Leanne, I would believe that you probably do have at least a bit of an idea of what that's like, because as an adult adoptee, you had to deal with the identity issues and the struggle of, does anybody understand me? Can anybody relate to me? And that's very much what happens with birth mothers, at least in my experience and in the research that I've read and the research that I've done, is there's a real sense of isolation. Now, in my situation, I had some great friends who walked beside me, but there's a difference between having friends that are, you know, washing your feet when your belly is too big to reach down there, and friends who really understand the struggle that you're having. And so for me, I realized that not only did I not understand the struggle that I was walking through, not only did I not understand the emotions that I was having, but I figured if I didn't understand those things, then nobody else would either. And so in a sense, I isolated myself. I prevented others. I attempted a few times to let others in, and they didn't understand. And so it was easier just to journey by myself. And so you've got a lot of birth mothers, so many birth mothers that are on this journey by themselves because they feel like no one gets it. No one understands what they're experiencing, the pain that they're feeling, the void, the loss that they're feeling. Nobody understands it. And so they journey in this experience by themselves. And so alcohol becomes their friend. And cutting, or depression and anxiety, or eating disorders, or suicide attempts, these things become their friend because there's nothing else that comforts them. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, you just nailed on some of the hot button topics, right, within the adoption tapestry, as I like to call it, with that unresolved grief or unmanaged grief, right?
Yes.
The addictive behaviors, you know, excessively turning to drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, even shopping. People
absolutely
don't say that shopping can be an addiction, but it can be too. You know,
right.
Then you have an inability to even tolerate your intense feelings, right? That feeling of being very alone and very, very isolated, right? And then the whole issue of chronic and repeated suicidal thoughts and feelings. Very huge
absolutely.
In the adoption community. And I'm here,
absolutely.
And you're here to blow the lid off of this stuff. You know, I'm not afraid to talk about this. These
absolutely
are very,
not.
Very real. And
right.
The eating disorders is another very huge issue within the tapestry, as well as cutting. And so a lot of that self-blame, and people don't even understand, why do people cut? And, you know, that's
right.
A whole nother show, but one of the reasons
absolutely.
They're in so much pain, right? They're in so much pain that they absolutely think that by cutting, they're releasing some of that pain.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, that's just one small piece, but that the other part of that unresolved grief that you were talking about, or unmanaged grief, is that intense anxiety and the depression that steps in. And, you know, before we move on to kind of how you coped with being busy and other throwing yourself into relationships and work, I received a private message from a gal today that I would like you to address, if that's okay.
Sure.
I really want to honor this listener. And so this was the email that I received today, Jan. I'm a mother of loss to adoption. My mother threw me into a maternity home, and I was coerced by her and, I'm just going to say, a church-run organization. She lost her only child, which was a little boy. She mentioned that she grieved Jan horribly for about 10 years. She talks about what we just spoke about. She abused alcohol, prescription barbiturates. She teetered with suicide. And then she threw herself into working 170 to 100 hours a week for 20 years. And so, yeah, help. She asked a question. She said she found her son, and the reunion went south really fast. And now she said, I am more depressed than ever. What can I do to help myself? I have a hard time every day and I cry frequently. What would you say to this sweet birth mom?
Wow. You know, the word that you just spoke, the email that she sent to you, doesn't surprise me in the least. I can relate in so many ways, and based on the research that I've read, my first comment to her, well, the first thing I would want to do is wrap my arms around her, because that's just the kind of person I am. So I'm doing that right now. If you're listening, I'm wrapping my arms around you. The first thing I would say is she's not alone. So the feelings that she's having, and I know this doesn't help her, but the feelings that she's having and the struggle that she's experiencing is so very common. I've done my own research, but I read significant amounts of research, and just every word that she spoke in that email is in the research. And so she's definitely responding to placement the way that a lot of women have responded to the choice that they made. And I too am a birth mother of the only child I ever had, and never got married, never had any more kids. And so, you take a person like that. I don't know whether that's her situation or not, but there's a feeling of unfulfilled dreams and disappointment with life. It's kind of hard to move forward. And so, you know, I guess the other thing I was thinking as you were talking, she said that the reunion kind of went south, and that's a whole nother radio show talking about reunions and the grief and loss that comes from reunion, the ghosts in the closet and all that. But, you know, I guess I would, my encouragement to her would be, one of the factors that, prevents or influences better grief management is connecting, having a support system. And so if it's not a family member, if it's not a church, if it's not a some kind of faith community, finding out online, going on the internet and finding out where there are birth mother support groups, I have found that even if I'm just in the presence of other birth mothers, there's a sense of I can exhale, and I don't have to pretend anymore. I can completely be myself. And so this dear birth mama sister of mine, I would so strongly encourage her to find some support. And I can give you some resources for her after we wrap up, and she can contact you. And but there is support out there. It's a matter of finding it. And so, and then I'd also be more than happy to send a personal email to her as well. So the support is necessary. It's mm-hmm. Birth mothers can't, if we don't have the opportunity to talk about our experience, and we don't have the opportunity to experience support and validation of the loss that we've experienced, it's hard. It's hard to keep going. It really is. So, yeah, that's kind of what I hope that helped a little bit.
Absolutely. And I really love the fact that this sweet woman chose to reach out. And I'm so honored. And again, I just echo that hug, right? We're sending out hugs to all of you birth moms, especially to this brave woman who reached out to me, and know that you are not alone, and you have people that you can surround yourself with that will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. And, you know, it's a misconception and a horrible myth that we need to keep this stuff a secret and keep it to ourselves.
Right.
You know, oh my word. If that's just the one thing, if I could shout from the mountaintop, we need one another. And we need to be able to sit with one another and to listen and not be afraid of what we will hear. And you know what really struck me when you were sharing, Jan, just now, and as I was reading through this email aloud here live on the air, my heart is just so overflowing. And I think about the different areas, you know, as a coach who works within the tapestry, and I do work with birth moms, I work with adoptees, I work with adoptive mothers and fathers as well, and just thinking about what keeps a lot of us stuck. And you know, you and I had spoken a little bit off air about that. on that whole topic of why do we do these things? Why do we constantly spin around the axle? What keeps us there? And something that I thought about, and you just totally nailed it, was that whole opportunity that we have to establish a support system. That's my ask.
Right?
So, you know, one of the strategies that I work with and the people that I'm privileged to journey with is, you know, one of the reasons we got stuck in the first place is we stopped listening to ourselves and we stopped talking about our pain.
Yeah.
And by establishing a support system around us, I like to say, you know, this is my power team. I need these people that we can get the support, encouragement that we need because we were never created to journey alone. And
that's right.
So I just, you know, kind of wanted to throw the importance of that out there. And, you know, my second, before we jump into our next topic that I want to discuss with you is the T for stuck. It's really trusting the process and trusting that our feelings are real and that we can trust that transformation in our hearts can happen. And oftentimes being stuck is a beautiful indicator that transformation is just on the horizon for us. So I kind of wanted to, you know, throw that out there and get your thoughts on that piece before we jump into how it is that you threw yourself into work and unhealthy relationships.
Sure. Yeah, I think getting unstuck is for a lot of birth mothers is a great thought of something that is in the future, but it's not attainable. That's the perspective. And I would have to say that I believe it's possible to get unstuck. I'm not there yet. It's possible to get unstuck, but in order for a birth mother to get unstuck, she has to identify and recognize the loss that she's experienced. And so the grief portion and the acknowledging and experiencing the grief is so crucial before getting unstuck. And so, you know, I was just, as you were sitting here talking, I was thinking about, you know, the different support systems that are available. Birth mothers are really not alone anymore. There are so many organizations across the country from East Coast to West Coast that are providing support for birth mothers where birth mothers are able to start their grief journey. And so, yes, I believe because I have hope, not because I'm there. I believe that it's possible to get unstuck, but the grief journey has to begin first, identifying and acknowledging that I have grief and that I have experienced a loss that is most people couldn't handle. It's important to acknowledge that and to process that with others. And then moving into the, okay, so now what? Now that the grief never goes away, but we can get to a place where it's manageable. And then when it's manageable, I can say to myself, okay, what's the next step? Instead of being so consumed by my grief and the numbing process and the running process, once I'm able to start managing that grief, then I can look forward to what you do, Leanne, and say, okay, maybe somebody can come alongside me now and kind of help me get unstuck and move forward.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I just want to echo what you shared, Jan, and that acknowledgement and validation about where we all are. Because there was times in my life as an adoptee where I was super duper stuck. And I could still go into that stuck place, right?
Yep.
In different relationships or circumstances. And I'm very grateful for the people that have walked beside me and helped me to come to that place of, you know, some acceptance, right, of my story and my journey, and then understanding that, you know, what am I going to do with this now?
I'm just
prayerful about that because it really is very real. The grief and loss is real. And we need to be able to acknowledge that. We need it validated, and we need to be able to talk about it and have, like you said, others work with us. And I just want to give a plug to the American Adoption Congress, which is one of those beautiful places where birth moms, adoptees, and adoptive moms and dads, right? All of us, we can receive that support at the American Adoption Congress. I had the privilege of attending that conference last year in March in San Francisco, and I actually will be speaking this year in Boston.
in March at that conference. And I'm going to be talking a lot about the adoption closet and talking about the myths and mysteries surrounding that grief and loss issue. So thank you, Jan, for addressing that and how incredibly important it is that we push that pause button for just a moment and really acknowledge that this is very, very real. You know, oftentimes when we hear about a young mom or any mom and she's giving birth and something happens tragically with a baby and the baby passes away, we're so quick to rally around that mom, around the family, and provide support and encouragement. And correct me, help me to understand even better, but how do you see, even in the culture that we live in with all the advances in technology, how well, Jan, do you think birth moms are supported by hospital organizations, friends, family, the church, today in this century where we have access to every resource?
You know, I think the problem is that people don't understand birth mother grief. And so I don't blame people for not getting it. think in order for people to understand a person's grief, no matter what the grief is or what the loss is, sadly enough, we have to explain it to them. And so in a sense, birth mothers, you know, in addition to their grief and their grieving, you know, their grief journey, they also are educators. And they're educating the culture about what this grief looks like. There's this perspective that, oh, well, she chose to place her child for adoption, so she must be okay with it. Well, the reality is that studies show most birth mothers are comfortable with the decision that they made, but that doesn't mean that it feels okay. Good decisions don't always feel good. And so there is still a need for society to be able to say, okay, she made a good decision, so now let's help her get through this decision. Let's help her get through the grief that's coming from this good decision she made. So I think there's a need for birth mothers to be educators as well as grievers. And there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of misinformation, a lot of lack of information about what birth mother grief looks like. And until we can educate the mental health professionals and the medical professionals and the crisis pregnancy centers and even the adoption agencies, until we can educate these people, birth mothers are not going to get the care that they need and the support that they need to grieve. So even in this country where we've got the freedom and,
love that, Jan. You know, you shared something that I want to highlight here real quick, and you talked about good decisions don't always feel good. And I think that that's an incredibly important topic to just highlight here for a moment. Give us a glimpse into, because education is so important. Educate us, Jan, on what a birth mother's grief looks like.
Wow.
I'm all about building an educational platform for my listeners.
Absolutely.
I love being able to provide this value. So help us to understand more about birth mother grief.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. In fact, there were a number of years ago, there were a bunch of studies that had been done, and there were some researchers that were evaluating the studies that had been done about birth mother grief, and there were some symptoms. There were actually 8 symptoms that came up so frequently among birth mothers in these research reports that they actually coined this term called the birth mother syndrome. And so the birth mother syndrome listed 8 common issues or struggles that birth mothers face post-placement. And I can read through them really fast here. I actually have them right in front of me. But this is kind of an overview, and it may be shocking to the person that is not involved in the adoption process because they don't correlate this type of intense grief process with placement. But do you want me to read these to you? You want me to run through them?
I would be so honored. Yes, please.
Okay, so the birth mother syndrome is composed, and this is, you and others who are in the adoption field know some of these researchers. Grotevent is a real, real well-known person in adoption research, McRoy, Henny. So signs of unresolved grief is number one. They're not in order, but the first one is signs of unresolved grief is very common among birth mothers. Symptoms of post-traumatic stress, very common among birth mothers. Number three, diminished self-esteem, abandonment of previous goals, feelings of powerlessness and worthlessness. Imagine living your life every day, Leanne, with those feelings. Diminished self-esteem, abandonment of previous goals, and feelings of powerlessness and worthlessness. So this is the birth mother journey for some. The fourth one is outward professions of perfection, masking inner feelings of shame, self-condemnation, and isolation. I'm the first one in line for that one. I had a smile on my face. I was helping teenagers work through all of their grief, all of their struggle, all their life issues for so many years when I had a smile on my face, but I was masking my own feelings of shame and self-loathing. The fifth one is arrested emotional development. Studies show that when a woman puts that ink to the paper and makes that and signs those placement papers or those relinquishment papers, her emotional development as well as other types of development are arrested. So if she signs papers at age 23, her emotional development becomes stunted, and she has difficulty growing past that experience, that placement experience. Number six, self-punishment. We already talked about that earlier, Leanne. We talked about the eating disorders and the cutting and that kind of stuff. Another one that is very interesting and is still being researched and studied right now, and that's secondary infertility. So a birth mother places her child for adoption, and then when she attempts to have another child, any subsequent child, she discovers that she's unable to have any more kids. And they're working on research on and figuring out the correlation there. But there is a correlation between placement, birth mothers, and secondary infertility. And the last one, I'm going kind of fast here, but the last one is living at or vacillating between various extremes. So that could be emotions. She could feel suicidal and absolutely hopeless at night, alone in her bed by herself. And during the day, she could be going strong at a job where she doesn't have to think about anything except for the job. So her pain has disappeared for an 8-hour period or a 12-hour period. But those extremes are also really, really common among birth mothers. So that's the birth mother syndrome. So if somebody doesn't understand what birth mother grief can look like, and that doesn't mean everyone, but these are some common effects of birth mother grief.
Wow. You know, while you were sharing, there are so many common threads. You know, when I talk about the tapestry of adoption, Jan, I talk about that there are so many common threads within
Absolutely.
The tapestry when it comes to birth moms, adoptive moms, and adoptees. We have a
Absolutely.
Lot of common threads. And as you mm-hmm. were sharing, those issues, those eight, come up for me as an adoptee. When I look and hear you share, I probably experienced every one of those at some point in my 50 years. You know, I often say, one of my coined phrases is that I'm the baby in the crib 50 years later. You know, don't forget, everybody, that I'm going to grow up. Don't forget I'm going to have challenges and questions. And it's really not about you know, your grief or your loss, but I'm going to have these experiences as well. And it's not about the love you have for me, but I'm going to have questions and I'm going to have concerns and I'm going to have challenges just like you. And I think that's so beautiful when you share so honestly about this syndrome and about how common it is within adoption. You know, when I bring this up to my local community or different folks I chat with, they're just astonished, Janik. They never thought that something so beautiful, what can be perceived as so beautiful, can be shrouded in so much pain. And so, you know, that's why you and I do the work that we do. That's why we're passionate, about our wellness
Absolutely.
Arenas that we are serving in and want to see just so elevated and brought all over the world so people can start to experience, right, some of this healing and some of this management, because it's never, you know, the loss isn't going to go away. It is real and it is true and it is incredibly valid. And so, wow, thank you for that. And, you know, those of you who have questions regarding these eight, please reach out to me or to Jan with any additional, you know, thoughts or questions that you have. And we're going to be giving our contact information here in just a moment. And so, Jan, you know, you touched on something that was really beautiful at the end that I want to spend some time in the second half of our show together addressing. And that is where we live out our dreams, right? At night, we're in tears at our pillow. And in the day, we're throwing ourselves into our lives. We are throwing ourselves into our work. And I'd like to talk more about what that looked like for you. And you can give us a little glimpse into that. And then the other thing I'd like for us to address is, what was the turning point for you when you knew that you had better start dealing and taking a hard look and getting people to walk beside you? Okay?
Right.
So we're going to, grab a drink of water. We're going to address that here in just a moment. A lot of heavy stuff here today. So everybody take a deep breath. And I'm going to do a little commercial break here for Life Coach Radio Network. We have some amazing shows coming up here on the network that I want to highlight for you. On the 6th, which is tomorrow, Friday at 12 p.m., you can create your bliss with Nika Annan. I invite you to join Nika on her radio program. Also on the 7th, you can talk all about healthy lifestyle with Misha Avery at 1:30. On the 8th at 7 p.m. of February the 8th, you can join Coach Annette Johnson. She is the Fly Coach, and she would love to have you join in with her on her show, Fly Conversation. Also, on February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, I will be joined by several Life Coach Radio Network coaches here on the Life Coach chat channel. I believe we are going to be on at 11 a.m. until 1:30 Mountain Standard Time. And we are going to chat all about one love, one people, a kindness in motion. And we're going to be starting a 10-day kindness and love challenge on Valentine's Day. And my challenge here in Los Alamos is going to be to spread the love and share kindness every turn and opportunity that you get. And so I want to invite you as well to tune in and listen to our show here on the Life Coach Radio Network on the 14th. So, Jan, I am just still so overwhelmed and grateful for you and for your honesty and transparency and helping me to learn more about what it's like in your world and in your heart. And so before our little commercial break there, you had given us those top eight birth mom syndrome, different characteristics. And I'd like, you had shared at the beginning of the show about how you dealt and coped with some of your grief. And part of that was throwing yourself in to your work and being busy, just like the email I received from that birth mom who shared that she was working 70 to 100 hours per week in her grief. Tell us more about that in your story.
Well, it sounds so familiar. I mean, it really could be me that sent you that email. It wasn't, but it could be because I did the same thing. I got involved. I've always had a real heart for, a real affinity with the inner city and working with youth in the inner city. And so I, after I finished my education, I got involved in working with youth in the inner city. And I actually even moved into the inner city from the suburbs where I grew up. And I just put myself fully into my work. And so I was spending those 70 to 100 hours she was talking about. I was doing the same thing, but I was going to court hearings for the students that had gotten arrested. And I was going to visit, you know, my older youth that were in prison for armed robbery or whatever. I was so involved in the dysfunction and the struggle that they were having, that it distracted me from having to deal with my own dysfunction and my own struggle. And so that was one of the things that I did to avoid that pain, was stay completely invested in everyone else's life and not pay attention to myself, not do self-care, not look after myself, not, you know, nurture my own heart. And don't get me wrong, those youth that I worked with, they're my family today. I absolutely adore these. They're my kids. I call them my kids. But I'm no longer doing that. So that was one of the things I did. I did a lot of just work. I spent all the time with these youth. I even had kids living with me. It was 24/7 work for me that distracted me. And then I mentioned that I was involved in self-destructive behaviors. I didn't cut, I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, and I'm grateful to God that I was able to avoid those addictive behaviors, but I was involved in multiple immoral relationships. And so, I was raised in the church, and I was taught what good girls are supposed to do and what good girls aren't supposed to do. And I was doing what good girls aren't supposed to do for many years. And what I discovered is that I was living this double life, and I was trying to set a good example for these youth that I just loved so dearly and wanted to see survive and thrive. But on the flip side, I was living this life that I didn't want them to know about, because I didn't want them to live that life. But it was mentally, anytime you live a double life, you are mentally and emotionally drained. And that's eventually what happened and how I basically crashed and knew I needed help, and I couldn't do it any longer. Is I just couldn't, my this double life I was living was just too much. And I was raised to be a woman of integrity and a woman of good character, and that was what I was demonstrating to these youth. And I wanted them to know that I was a woman of good character and integrity, and I didn't want to be living this self-destructive life that I was living. And just as a side note, for those who are saying, well, why didn't she just stop? I don't know why she kept doing that, or why do they keep drinking, or why do they keep... The reality is when you have so much pain, the drinking and the drugging and the sexing and all that kind of stuff, that's not even an option. It's almost like it's almost a must-have. You must do it in order to numb the pain. So just to put that out there on the table. I crashed in 2009, and what I mean by that is I finally got to the place where I could not live a double life anymore, and I couldn't numb the way that I was numbing anymore. I hated myself. I loathed myself and who I had become, and I knew that I was going to die if I didn't do something about it. And so I reached out to a friend, and that friend took me to the church the next week. And I know people have struggles with the church, and there's pain in the church, but there's also healing in the church. And I started to receive some of that healing by talking with a pastor who helped me process some of my grief. Since that time, I went to a counselor who let me cry for a year. Basically, I paid her to cry, but I needed her. I needed somebody to listen to me, tell my story, and talk about my hurt, and validate my grief, and validate my pain. And so I did that. This was just a few years ago that I was able to do that. So my grief journey is still alive and well. But I'm hoping not to remain in a place of stuckness forever, you know? So I hope that answers your question. That was a long response, but.
Oh, beautiful. No, it answered my question and 500 others, right? That I'm sure many of our listeners have, and you just gave us a beautiful peek. You kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit, open the door to your closet about what that was like for you. And
sure,
you know,
yeah.
it provides a tremendous value. And like you shared, you know, we've got to educate. We need to talk about it. And
right.
we will, all of us eventually will come to a place, those within the tapestry anyway, where there's going to be a crashing point, right? I
yeah.
experienced a crashing point for myself as well. And it's painful to come to that place where all of a sudden you go, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you go, ew, I
yeah.
am not liking what I see. I don't like what I feel. I don't like what's happening to my body. I don't like what's happening to my brain. And it's very, very real. And congratulations on having the courage to reach out and get the help that you so deserved and desired.
It was definitely needed. And it was a time that it was extreme vulnerability. I felt completely exposed, but it was necessary for healing to start.
Absolutely. You know, and that is that beautiful place, you know, when we were talking about what keeps us stuck, right? And I brought up that, you know, the S for, and it was all about the S being, don't stop listening to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we turn our own hearts off, we turn our pain off, and we, like you shared, Jan, we become very numb.
Yeah.
And so part of that stuck place is, and that's an encouragement I want to give our listeners, is I want to ask that question, have you stopped listening to yourself? Have you stopped acknowledging your grief and your loss? Have you stopped acknowledging your pain? And if you have, why? So I just want to take a quick moment here, Jan, and give a couple of resources that are currently out there that, if there's people who are listening, and I know there are, who have questions about, well, where do I turn now? This is all great information, Leanne and Jan, and wow, you brought up a lot of things for me. I'm being triggered all over the place. Where do I go? What do I do? And I want to just let you know, listeners, about a program that I have coming up that's going to be starting very, very soon, actually. I'm super excited. It starts the week of February the 15th. And I am providing our adoption community with a free opportunity. It's a 6-week coaching program that you will walk through with me. It's all confidential. There are 3 different groups that are going to be forming, one for birth moms, one for adoptees, and one for adoptive moms. And these groups are going to meet every other week. It's super easy to get involved in this group. All you have to do is send me an email to legacynowlived@gmail.com and express your interest, and we will have a conversation about that. So there's going to be participants in these 3 groups from all over the U.S. and perhaps world. These groups are confidential, they're safe, and they're individually focused, like I said, for birth moms, for adoptive moms, and for adoptees. My desire is that each person that joins these groups makes the commitment for 6 weeks or the 6 sessions to be involved in the entire program. That's why it's free. I'm asking for that kind of a commitment, and also committing to confidentiality are required. And each session is going to be opportunities to explore these challenges, to explore the grief, to experience each other and that learning opportunity that we can, only those of us who are uniquely touched by adoption, understand. So I'm praying that this program will help you to gain some insight and awareness, and then tap into some tools and resources that are going to help you not just survive your adoption experience, but start living your legacy today. Because I'm a firm believer, Jan, that we don't leave a legacy, we live it every day.
Right.
And so my desire, right, is to support those impacted by adoption to find your own solution that's going to be right for you to the challenges that you're facing. And so I just wanted to invite our listeners to please reach out to that. I have an incredible program planned. This is a Genesis program, which means it's the beginning. It's certainly not an end-all, end-all. And I need each of you. I need you to teach me, to walk with me, to be able to educate and encourage and inspire you, as well as bear witness to your journey. So anyway, please reach out if that is of interest to you. I would be happy to speak with you more about that. If you have any questions, please give me a call at 505-412-1817 or shoot me an email. And Jan, you had shared about some resources that you're aware of, and you're really involved in launching something very beautiful coming up here quite soon. Would you please share with us about some opportunities that you know that are just on the horizon or are currently going?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I have, in my journey over the past few years, I've met some amazing birth mothers who are doing some really amazing things across the country, and, you know, including Heidi Rousseau. She's got Linked Through Love on the, I think she's in Colorado, Three Strands, which is in on the East Coast, building bridges is Building Bridges is on the West Coast. Birth Mom Buds is in South Carolina. There's a lot of really good resources for birth mothers, positive resources for birth mothers that are popping up all over the place, which is really exciting. Because there are all these resources for birth mothers available, I tried to process what would my role be. Would my role be to help birth mothers as well? And I decided that I wanted to take a step back from the one-on-one type of relationship with birth parents, and I wanted to educate the educators. I wanted to educate the counselors. I wanted to prepare social service workers and mental health professionals to be better caregivers for birth mothers. And so I will be launching this month. I will be launching the Birth Mother Wellness Institute. And our mission is to provide support. It's basically a support and educational network that exists to provide tools for birth mother sensitive caregiving and long-term effective grief support. So this is not an organization for birth mothers, although it will ultimately help birth mothers. It is an organization for professionals to get to become equipped to be more capable in birth mother sensitive counseling and understanding how to better care for birth mothers. So that's the Birth Mother Wellness Institute, and that will be up and running by the end of this month. If people are interested in learning more, I actually do have a Facebook page. They can look up the Birth Mother Wellness Institute, I just started that, so if they want more information, they can go there. We'll be having a summit for mental health professionals, medical professionals, graduate students, whoever wants to learn more, a summit, Birth Mother Wellness Summit in the fall with some amazing, amazing speakers from across the country. I'm hoping that with some education, we can have better support for birth mothers for women who are making this choice to place, becoming birth mothers and needing that grief support.
Love it. So listeners, I really want to encourage you to reach out there. Go like Jan's page and stay tuned for more information as this institute launches. I know I will be anxiously and eagerly watching you, Jan, and watching how God just takes this passion in your heart and bursts it into an incredible educational platform. And I'm super honored to be part of that. Bear witness to that, watch it happen, learn from you, and continue to grow myself as a certified coach, because, you know, I am on the journey as well, and I'm a lifelong learner. I believe, Jan, that we are either learning or we are dying, and
yes,
I would much rather be in that learning category, and I'm excited for what you have on the horizon and to support you in any way I can in that venture. So kudos.
I appreciate
that. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Jan, we are at the top of the hour. I'm sitting here going, I cannot even imagine that we are almost out of time for our radio program today on the Adaption Factor Step 1. And that Step 1, acknowledging and validating the grief and loss, and understanding that it is never going to go away, but we can manage it, we can acknowledge it, we can walk through it, and we need the support from others in order to do that and to do it with the dignity that we so deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that reminder. You know, please share with us again your contact information and how people can reach out to you to connect, because I know several of my listeners are going to want to do that, fully confident in that. So please share some contact information.
Sure. Again, the Facebook page is the Birth Mother Wellness Institute, and they can just go online and look that up. I can also be reached. I have an email address. It's birthmotherwellness@outlook.com. If people want to reach me there, they're welcome to do that as well. And then, like I said, in the next few weeks, we'll be launching our website, which will have resources for birth moms and mental health professionals and faith communities that hopefully will be helpful for them as well.
Beautiful. And you can reach me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. I am an advocate for a more conscious adoption approach. To find out more about that, please reach out. There's a lot of amazing things happening within the world of adoption and how we can be of service in our culture, in our churches, and in our world. And so please reach out. You can also reach me at legacynowlived@gmail.com if you would like to be a part of my adoption coaching program that I'm super excited to launch and learn from each one of you. And, you know, Jan, what closing thoughts do you have for us here at the top of the hour before we sign off here on Life Coach Radio Network?
Keep hoping. I was giving those words to somebody else the other day. If we do not keep hoping, we will shrivel up and die. So for those of you who are hoping for a reunion or hoping that the pain will lessen or that that things will get better, keep hoping. Just keep hoping and reach out for that support.
Oh, I love that. I have nothing to add, Jan, to that. We are here for you. We love you, listeners, and I so appreciate you. Please tune in again to the many different shows here on Life Coach Radio Network. And I do invite you the first and third Thursdays of every month. You can find me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, here on Life Coach Radio Network. And I look forward to connecting with you on a more personal level. And think about taking this kindness challenge that I'm going to be proposing starting February the 14th. Again, this is Leanne, and Jan, my incredible thanks to you for sharing your heart, your wisdom, and your precious gift with each one of us.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, until next time, God bless, be well, and don't be afraid to take that next step to walking your talk into your legacy now lived.